The more I talk to people, I see when I say disconnect, I mean maybe a maybe not a strong grasp of something. And I'll tell you what I mean when we go forward. But we want to look at, let's start off with in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 is where we'll start off. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And what I want to talk about is, what is grace? What is grace? Now you might say, well, we've been talking about grace for 20 years. But when you think about it, is if I ask you that, what is the first thing you think about? What is grace?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
God's riches at Christ's expense. That's good. Unmerited favor. That's good. Well, so much for that one. Okay, we just say God's riches. Melissa said unmerited favor. Right? Okay. Anybody else?
God's provision.
Okay. We'll put up.
I say Jesus.
Okay. All right.
Just get the only way to be saved.
Okay. We're just. Okay.
I'm looking at it as this whole plan, eliminating sin and reconciling the world back to Him.
Okay, the whole plan? Okay. A gift? Yeah. Okay. Mike? Forgiveness? All right. We got God's riches, God's provision, unmerited favor. We got a gift. We got Jesus, a person, salvation, forgiveness. God's whole plan. Anything else?
It's also His character.
His character? Okay. Now, the reason I asked that was because I'm in a nursing home, and the chaplain comes in. And he says, do you mind if I pray for you, for the family? So sure, you know, and he starts praying. Now she's in the hospital, right? And naturally, if you're in the hospital for it with a sick person,
you're going to pray for healing,
right? So you know, when he prays and he says, you know, Lord, we know you're the doctor. You know, nothing happens without you. We know that you can raise her up, lift her up. You know, so and I'm taking that in. That's all great. And he was like, we know you're the God of all grace, and you're able to do this. So when he gets done, you know, well, I thank him. And I sit down, and I'm sitting there. And I said, what really is grace in this case? Is God great grace in raising her up and sending her back to the nursing home? Like, what would be the ultimate display of God's grace at that situation right there? Would it be for her to be healed? And that, exactly. And so
He get the glory out of her.
Right.
Okay. So, and that's what I thought about this. I said, we talk about grace all the time. We talk about being a grace believer. But what does that really mean? Because when you start thinking about it, you start to ask for things that's not in the whole plan.
That's fleshly.
You start to ask things that God, that his character, that maybe that's not who he is today. So you start getting disappointed. Or the gift that you think about is maybe not the gift he's thinking about. The favor that you're looking for is not the favor that he's giving. So we have different, his provision may not be what you think. So I start thinking, okay, what's something very simple? It's starting with the definition. In Genesis 6, when you see it in the Old Testament, when he talks about grace, you know that actually the word grace is used like 180, 170 times. And guess who uses it the most? Out of 170 plus times, Paul uses it almost like 80 something percent of that. That's a lot. And what's the opposite of grace?
Works,
right? Yes, but and that's part of it. I'm like the salvation and the forgiveness, but we think of the opposite as works and or wrath. Is you know how much Paul uses wrath? Not like the Old Testament. Or he works, law. You know how much Paul uses law as opposed to the Old Testament?
When he talks about Paul's wrath, he says we're not appointed to it.
So, and that's what, right. That's what, well, anyway, what I want to look at is first thing is where it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What was Noah faced with? What was the situation that Noah was in? When Noah, they said Noah found grace, what happened to the other people?
He was facing grace
and death. Noah found grace, and Blake just said it, but the others found what?
Wrath.
So how did he get that? Because you know what? Noah, right. He knew something that put him in a position to receive God's grace. He knew whatever he knew, he operated in faith, right? God says, I'm done with this generation. And my next step, my plan, like Mike said, is my plan is to what? I'm going to execute my wrath. But before I do, I'm going to make a provision for you and those who believe that they won't know. They won't be in the dark about what I'm doing today. And you'll have a chance for salvation. Now, and somebody said a person. Do you know the ark is a type of being in Christ, of salvation? So everything that you guys said is right, but that wasn't the dispensation of grace.
Yeah, just a form of God's grace at that time.
So God has always, his character, part of his character is to be what? Gracious. And if you believe, he always makes a way, has a provision for deliverance for his people. So Noah found grace, he gets through, right?
And it also says that he was a just man and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God.
There you go. And we can go a little farther with that, but we're going to stick with the part that, and perfect. He was perfect in his generations. Read that again. He was
Genesis 6:9.
He was
a just man,
yep,
perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
Okay. Perfect, just, he walked with God. Now, the thing I'm starting to love this word right here, perfect. It's just, and he walked with God. And I asked, this was a trick question I asked once. I said, did he walk with God because he was perfect? Or was he perfect because he walked with God?
So he was a just man.
How did he get just? Was he just because he was perfect, or was he just because he walked with God? Or same thing, it all ties together. The only thing I'm getting at is this: everything Noah did was based on faith. Noah accessed God's grace because of his what? Because of his faith. The reason why the other people didn't, it wasn't because the grace wasn't there. It was because they didn't what?
They didn't have faith.
They didn't believe it. Oh, they had it. They just didn't exercise it in what God said. Because he did say it. Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Right? So the reason they didn't get in was not because they didn't have faith. It's because they didn't believe what God was doing that day. In that day. At that time. They didn't believe his provision. They didn't accept his gift. Right? So anyway, whose fault was that? You sure?
Romans 1 says that they're declared that there's no excuse. They all knew.
They all knew? You look like you're doubting that.
No.
Okay. So, I just use that as an example because they'll say this. If you have to talk to a person and you say, well, we live in a dispensation of grace today, they don't know what you mean. You think they do, but they don't really know what you mean, because you'll say, okay, how do you get saved today? And they'll say, you get saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, what else? And he's going to give you a list.
And grace has been thrown around so much that it's just like a Hallmark greeting card word, so people don't look at it like
it's
Words are defined differently.
Yeah.
Words are defined differently. So you can say that. You can say, we're saved by grace. And he'll say, yes, I know that. And then you say, well, you just read that. Mm-hmm. Listen, this man is on national TV with thousands of people listening to him.
Millions
of people
around the world
listening to him. And he says, everything for salvation but what it takes for salvation.
Yeah.
And there's people that are sitting there, they're saying, I believe Jesus, the Son of God, Lord, come into my heart. Turn me from my wicked ways. Etc., etc. What's that?
Become
the Lord of my life. So, if somebody asked you, if you went out to on the street and said, and this is another thing, you said, I'm a grace believer. How many ever used that term? Never used that term? Okay. But see, that we got different people from different denominations. They don't even know what you don't even know what I mean when I say that, do you? That's
But people don't know what I mean when I say it, so I don't use it.
You know what? That's just like saying, I'm an ist. Or I'm an ite. Yeah, well, when I say I'm an ist, that's just like, right. Thanks, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostalist, or I'm a Mennonite, or whatever ite you want to be, right? So you say, I'm a grace believer, and they say, what's that? Like there's any other kind. Yeah. But anyway, so when I look at this, I thought about it coming over here. This says in Romans 5, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Grace is it's a system now that we are in. It's, when I say system, it's
method of operation.
God, right. God calls it now. He said, this is his, it's the house law today. What's another word for this?
Dispensation.
There you go. See, dispensation. Now, you're talking to your friends, and they say, you know, we're in a dispensation of grace, right? And he said, what's that? What's a dispensation? That's something you made up.
Explain it like different presidents' administration. The Constitution is the same, but their way of doing things may be different.
Right, right. But when you say that, we're in a dispensation of the grace. He still doesn't. Right, you have to break it down. He still doesn't know what you mean, because we are scripturally. Most of us are scripturally illiterate. So when you start talking to him, you say we're different. I was coming over here today, and I said, what if President Obama called you up today and he says, you know, this is President Obama and I want you to whatever, enact some kind of executive order.
You're not the president anymore. That was a different administration.
Doesn't he have authority?
No.
only to him, right? Only in his mind, because now we're what?
Under the Trump dispensation.
Yeah, you can say administration.
Yeah.
That's good enough, right? Yeah. So, now, most of us, you say, well, I understand all that. We have access by faith into this grace where we stand. In this dispensation, in this, the way the house is run now, it's run by the householder. That's one man. It's one man. And if you go out in your class, or you talk to people, you run into people, and you say, who's running the house today? Jesus. Yep.
Resurrected.
The what? Say it.
The resurrected Jesus.
Okay.
The spiritual Jesus that gives to the spirit of a man.
Okay. So I say, I get that. Give me a verse.
For Jesus?
Give me a verse that says the spiritual man Jesus is running the house today. See, you can't go out there talking to people and talking to them like they talk to you. You know what I mean? Like, I think just Jesus. It's always been Jesus. And then you say, well,
Paul says to follow him as he follows Jesus. And there is a specificity to the way we follow.
There you go. So you say 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians.
Romans 3.
Okay.
That's the one.
Well, I'm just saying. Now, this look at
Ephesians 3. I'm sorry. Not
John 13. I believe that's it, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Well, yeah. It's just like the Jews, and even when Jesus was on the earth, he talked about following Moses, because Moses was the householder under that administration. strange. But if they, well, they call it Moses' law. It was God's law, but it was delivered by Moses.
Right.
And the same with Paul. We're not following Paul other than how he has been given the word of God for us today. He's the one through which the Lord delivered. Yeah.
John, Leslie, John 13. Start at verse 15. Well, you know what? We got to get all the red letters, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's, let's start at verse. Well, that's a lot of real letters here. Let's pick it up at verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than who? Okay, so we'll look at it like this. And you go back there and you're talking to them, you say, the servant, Paul, is not greater than Jesus. Neither is Paul greater than Jesus. You know why I put that in there? Because who sent Paul? Okay. And Paul was the one who was sent, right? So when you start talking about to people and say, you're making a whole lot about this, Paul. And you said, no. I'm talking about the man who sent Paul, right? I'm not exalting him over Jesus. I'm exalting him because somebody else exalted him. Not somebody else. The Lord exalted him. 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know what that makes me think of? 1 Corinthians 14:37, where Paul says, if any man think himself to be spiritual, or a prophet, let him what?
Acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord.
Are the commandments of who?
The Lord.
He said, listen, if you know these things, happy are you if you what?
Do them.
Do them. So you have a guy, he says, listen, read 1 Corinthians 14:37, and then do you believe that? Do you believe what Paul just said? That he was, if any man think himself to be spiritual, and they do, or a prophet, and some of them do, and apostles, and whatever, he says, let them acknowledge the things that Paul said that I write are the what?
Commandments of the Lord.
Not his own, right? He says, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Verse 19, now I tell you before it come to pass, I tell you that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth what? Whomsoever I send receiveth what?
Me.
And he that receiveth me receiveth what?
Him
that sent me. So you flip over, you know what? You say, Paul is our apostle today. You flip over to his first book in Romans 1. He says what? Romans 1.
Something. Paul, a servant.
He says what?
All right.
He says, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He says, I was called to be what? An apostle. An apostle is one that was what? So whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth what? Receiveth. Now, let me ask you something. Where are you going to lose the guy when you're talking to him? When I say where you're going to lose him, where are you going to lose when you're talking to the person? Where are you going to lose him with that? With this, that verse right there.
The Romans verse?
If you say, who do you think Paul is? After he's told you who he is. Because the way he's not going to access this grace, because it's accessed by what? We have access into this grace by faith. Where all that stuff we talked about, the position, the salvation, the gift, the person, the God's riches, everything that we access under that grace is by what? It's by faith. And the person who gives you that whole list is Paul. Where are you going to lose that person? The minute he calls into question who Paul is.
Or if the dispensation thing, just the whole reason that, you know, makes perfect sense when you see the bigger picture, because if they're looking, you know, past the cross and read something Paul and then flip back to the other and see what another apostle says, or look at the red writing, it's like it gets everything, you know.
You still come back to this guy, right?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Right? So, go ahead. I'm listening. We're listening. You got something we miss? No? Okay. So.
People say, grace has done nothing to me. Grace was all through the Bible. There was always grace. There was always faith. Abraham had faith and he believed. And he also told the disciples to go into all the world and teach the gospel. So nothing's changed.
Right. And that's where we use it. We definitely, that's why we went back to Noah. That's where we went, because grace is, God's always been part of his character, is to be gracious. But here's a good example. Why do you think that in past the scripture said that under Moses' house, in Moses' house, they died without mercy under two or three witnesses? That means when they sinned, if they didn't offer the required sacrifice, guess what happened?
Yeah.
They died.
They had to offer those sacrifices by faith.
So, but that's under Moses' system, that they die without mercy. How many people today you know that should be dead? When I say that, it was, how many people mislead the believers today willingly, lie on God willingly? So why are they still walking around? Why haven't they? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said that today God is not imputing trespasses. See, there's no way that today we think about, people wonder all the time, how is God letting people get away with this stuff? Don't they ask you that? If there was really a God, that's what the atheist or the agnostic would say now. If there's really a God, he wouldn't let this stuff happen. If he was really a God, he would do something.
And he is doing something. But it's not what you... What did we say? When you don't know what grace means, then you'll have God doing some things out of his character that you want him to do.
Well, it's just like so many people today are want to focus on, well, this is the signs of the last days. And they're looking forward to a future dispensation and making that today because they don't understand that the reason that things are happening is because God is extending his grace and giving us that opportunity.
It's not all men. All men without distinction. So, he says, the main thing, like I said, is this is what we operate by faith, and you don't know what's going on today unless you hear from God. And he said, this is the man that I've chosen to speak to you today. When I'm in the hospital, you know, and these doctors, they make their rounds, right? And they go in, and the guy comes in. He says, "How you doing, Miss Tanner?" And she says, "Okay, or whatever." And then she starts asking maybe a question about, you know, her chart. What's in her chart? What did they see? How she's feeling? And you know what the guy says? "This is a doctor." You know what he said? Well, you don't know what he said. I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, "I'm not your doctor. When Dr. Walker comes around, ask him. He has all your information.
Paul comes around.
I'm just checking." You see the connection? So you say, what does God want me to? What does he want me to do today about my body or sickness? And you say, "Hey, we'll just get two or three together, touch and agree, and what?
And it'll be done.
It's done." And you do it, and you go home, and you say, "At what hour did he begin to make amends?" And they said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "You remember that story, right?" So you, and he said, he's just like you left him. Now, how many times are you going to do that before you start questioning God?
Putting promises out there that he didn't make.
You see, Blake?
To you.
You the missing link. I believe, and Johnny believes, so it must be you. You got some unconfessed. But you start making excuses.
Or the patient didn't believe.
The patient is out. I mean, it's us. It's us touching and agreeing. So anyway, different house law. Okay. Where are we at here? He says in Romans 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, we have I think, like Louise said, he didn't say we have access into grace, because it's always been grace. He says we have access into what?
This grace.
This grace, wherein we stand.
There's always been his instruction, and then you have to believe. You know, that, and grace has always been a part of that. It's just changes throughout the Bible at different points of time.
One of God, look, God is not just a God of wrath. You know, even in the Old Testament, we just showed it. And one of the, Moses, when he's coming through, when he's leading the children of Israel through to the promised land, the Lord says, "Okay, just you get out the way, Moses, and I'm going to destroy them all because they're so disobedient." I'm tired of this. Okay. Exodus. Turn back to Exodus.
And Moses appeals to God's character.
This is 33. Exodus 33. Now, this is a verse. When I read this, I'm gonna show you what stood out to me about this. Now, God was Moses' man, right? You can say he was handpicked. God handpicked him, right? And look at verse 33:9. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. We're talking about God, right? Mm-hmm. Talk with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses, what?
Face
to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, Moses, God had already told the people that nobody's like him.
Well,
like Moses. Nobody else is like him. Why was he different? Why was Moses different?
Because he can speak to God.
Because he can speak to God. What does that mean?
He could get it direct from the Lord.
Yeah, get what direct from the Lord?
His instructions.
His instructions. He knew his... Look, I know it. You don't have to guess. He says, come here. Me and you, I'm going to talk to you. Face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. What you doing tonight?
I don't know.
But that's the point.
Direct instructions.
So Moses comes out with what?
The law
instructions. Direct instructions from the Lord. And gives it to the people who don't know. So they can do what?
Follow.
That they can, like they said, that we're going to do everything you said do. Right? So, he says, watch this. This is what... I remember years ago reading this, and it was just amazing to me. He said, and Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also what?
Found
grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, what? Show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. You know what? He said, listen. In other words, God says, I've been telling you everything. I've been telling you everything I'm going to do. I've been telling you everything we're going to do. And Moses is saying, and we're still not there. And you picking them off. He said, wait a minute. He said, you told me, God, that you was with me. You told me that you knew me. You told me that you would show me thy way. That I found grace in your sight. Now, what do you know about grace now? In that situation. With Moses. Grace is information. I'll just boil it down to what I'm going to end up with. Grace is faith. That's why he said, look, by grace are you saved?
Through faith.
He says, God's goodness is there, and he's going to tell you how to access it. Not what you think, what he said. He says, you told me that I found grace in your sight. And he said, show me. Show me what you're doing. Because what you told me before don't seem like it's working now. Because they hadn't made it. And he wanted to destroy the people. So after all these years of walking with God and seeing his glory and talking to him face to face, knowing his instruction, scaring all the people with the veil, all that, then he gets to a point where he says, I really don't know what you're doing, God. Show me what you're doing. But he said this way. He said, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Right? Mm-hmm. And 14. And he said, God said, my what?
Presence
will go with thee. And I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, I don't know how y'all look at that, but I love that. I love that little transaction right there. Because I equate it today. When you get that information about the grace wherein we stand, then you know what? Those questions are answered. You know what he's doing. Don't you?
Yes.
You know he's where?
With me.
And not just where, not just with you, in you. When everything's going your way. Huh? That's what Moses just said. Moses just said, it ain't going my way, so guess what's missing? He said, you ain't really with me. If people don't know what grace means today, that's just how they operate. When the going gets tough, God must have got going. Because it ain't working. I've been praying for this car, I don't have it. I've been praying for this house, I don't have it. Been praying for this job, I don't have it. Been praying for healing, I don't have it.
This 15 is almost sounding like, but if your grace is
on the flip side, we're supposed to take the knowledge that we have and apply that to the circumstances, not the circumstances to what is God doing or not doing.
That's when you know what God is doing, then you won't expect him to be doing something else. Mm-hmm. Now,
but verse 15, isn't that saying if his grace isn't in it, then we don't want to go?
That's what Moses said. He said, and if he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, you know what? Today we do the opposite, don't we?
Right.
We do things without his presence, right? But we call it that. We call it stepping out on faith. That's what we call it.
Yes.
We go without his presence and we say, I'm believing God for this. And we're just going out there. I'm stepping out on faith. That's your definition of faith.
Our belief is that we're obligated to God to do what we want him to do.
That's, and God calls it presumption.
Yes.
He said, "You did I say that?" Did I say that? God was, you know what? God, you said. He said, "Did I?" You said, touching and agree that you would. Did I? I don't remember telling you that. You ever talk to somebody and they say, you said, I don't remember telling, I told Blake. I don't remember telling you that. Now, this might sound a little... Let's finish this passage up. He says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing..." I'm sorry, 16. "For wherein shall it be known, here that I may... For wherein shall it be known, here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, Moses, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Look, Egypt, was that glorious?
Yep.
Plague number one, was that glorious?
Yep.
How about plague number three? Was it glorious? Plague, I'm saying, did he see the glory of God working?
Oh, okay, yeah.
How about plague number 10?
Yep.
How about the Red Sea? Was that, did he show, see it? How about going through the wilderness, the water? How about the bread?
Cloud.
Yeah.
She was never working.
Okay. Then he gets over here and he said, "I ain't seen nothing that you with me. I haven't seen any sign, really, that you with me." And he asked God, he said, "Show me thy way. Show me thy glory." When I read that, I said, wow, what is he missing? What is he looking for? What is he looking for, Blake? After all that, what is he looking for?
Master plan?
You know what? He was yes. He didn't know the details of it.
Yeah.
But you know what he was looking for?
Security.
He said, "You just said you're going to get rid of all these people." He said, "No. How many times you, I'm talking about us, how many times, you don't have to answer this, did you sit back in your circumstances and question God's grace? You know why you questioned it? Because you didn't have enough information about what he was doing today and not doing today. That's the only way. And you just like Moses. You don't have that security.
Even when you have the information, it's like, faith is always there. It's like you never learn enough information where you don't have to have faith. It's kind of like what makes everything, the reason faith's there.
I operate on the things that I do know. You know what? Let me ask you something. We're going to finish this up in a second. The more you talk to people about intervention, you know what I say when I say intervention? Like, God doing things for you. I'm saying God doing things for you. Everybody have a story about what God did for them. You know, it's like I was down to this is where I was. I didn't know any other. I was at the end of my rope. And I know it was God. God stepped in and he did this for me. Now, I used to evaluate that on my evaluation. When I say that, I mean this. Where it ain't never happened to me, Blake. So you start looking at that and you say, like people will say, you know, I fell asleep at the wheel. And I didn't know how I made it up out the ditch and through those two trees. You know, I'm thinking about my uncle was coming down south one year. And that's what he did. He fell asleep at the wheel. And the car went into the ditch. This is traffic. Into the ditch, through the ditch, between two trees, back up onto the freeway. And what made him come to was the roaring of the car going through all that. And he looked up, and he kind of straightened the car up, and he looked in the rearview mirror. Everybody had stopped on both sides to see how many times this car was going to flip. Listen, that was nothing but God. That's what he would say. That's what we would say.
Right.
Was it?
You don't know. There's no information on that.
See, there's no information on that. So I can't put my foot down, because for every one of those, you got nine who didn't make it.
Right. Yeah. Because that just sets, like you said, it sets you up for like any time something like doesn't, you don't get saved from something that God failed you.
What happened to God? Yeah. And he was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
He did this for me.
Right. So you start evaluating experiences.
Mm-hmm. Get back into the flesh.
And that's where you say, listen, where we're under grace. We're in the dispensation of grace. And you have people, they don't know what you mean when you say that. And things, we start talking about walking by faith, and their definition of faith is not your definition of faith. And when you minister to the people, they really don't know scriptural vocabulary. And you talk about, this is something very basic. We say by grace through faith. He doesn't know what grace is. He doesn't know what faith is. And you trying to show him the mystery. He doesn't even know what an apostle is. And you trying to show him what's grace through faith through the apostle Paul. And then he have in his mind that Jesus is everything. And it's all about me. What Jesus is going to do for me. He doesn't know that God has a plan. What's it? He has a whole plan. He doesn't know.
The plan changed through the years.
He's not thinking what you're thinking. And when I'm coming home and I'm thinking about this, because here's the chaplain. Like I said, the chaplain. And he's praying for those things. And I had just told my grandmother, I'm sitting there and I'm reading. I said, no, if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, you have a new building, a new house in heaven, not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. And here comes this guy with his bag of bolts, nuts and bolts and boards to the room, saying, let me get to work on you, patch you up. Let me rephrase that. He really undid the grace that I was given to her. Because I know what he said about the body. What did he say about the body?
I'll perish.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
Going down.
How do you know that?
The word of God, going down.
And you feel it every day.
But you know what? Some of these other guys said the exact opposite.
They weren't talking to you.
What?
They weren't talking to you.
I don't believe that.
Why not?
Because it said it right there, Matthew chapter 2.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 10. All right. Look, it sounds comical. All I want to do is set the stage for when we talk about having access into this grace. It's a system. All you guys said earlier is everything. It's the no works, It's salvation. It's a person. It's the gift. It's all those things that you guys said. But when Paul is talking about it, you have to explain to them each one of those things, how they work today.
In context.
Right, because all those things were provided back there too. But they had different conditions on them. So when you do, and you have to go little by little. Because I'm telling you, I guarantee you, they don't know what you mean.
What's this, especially like if you already know some things, or if you're already taught in a different, like Baptist or any of this, things, it's like you have these, preconceived ideas, and when someone tells you something, you immediately just want to fight back because it's like it's opposite of what you believe, or what you thought you believed.
So let me ask you this: it's in the vein of what we're talking about, but it's a little off to the side. So when Paul talks about the ministry of God, it's based on information, and so when he also references the mystery of iniquity that always works,
see what I'm saying?
Is that misinformation or pointing? Because it comes down to words. Because we're not understanding. Words are just used arbitrarily without really understanding the meaning behind them or the current applicable understanding of those.
That's all I'm saying. Is before you start talking to that person about any of this, do you know what I mean when I say that? Do you know what I mean when I say that? Do you know what he means when he uses that? Do you know what he means when he uses that? Do you put them all together? He's strike one, strike two, he's out. You're trying to get him to run some bases, he is out. Because he doesn't know what you mean. He doesn't know what you mean. He does not know what you mean.
He's still
exactly. So, I didn't want to do that, but if nothing else, when I say we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and I wanted to finish up with that. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, if you don't know what that means, and you only have one idea of what that means.
Praise and worship.
That too. And you know what? You're thinking this. You're thinking only this. That's all you're thinking. Am I right?
Well.
So, anyway. Now, we going to ease all this in sooner or later. Later. But we're going to stop right there. Now, I know that was a little sketchy, but now I'm going to be back next week. The week after that, can you do that? Okay. So we're going to stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. Lord, we pray that through the abundance of scriptures and words, that you would take these things and make them clear to us as they you desire them to be. We thank you for all those who come out today. We thank you for their just being able to be a part of your purpose and plan as you continue to reveal these things through us by faith. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.